Hi, this is Jake, and you're listening to the Flight Training Podcast. So this month we've been talking about submission, and we're going to continue to talk about it here for a couple more weeks. But there's a dangerous side to submission. And really, there's a dangerous side to any discipline. You can take it too far, like the Pharisees took a lot of their disciplines. And you can actually, it can become a negative. It can become something that instead of giving life, instead of plowing ground where the Holy Spirit can make something grow, it actually hinders what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. It actually hurts you or other people. So that can happen with any discipline, but it's very obvious it can happen with submission. If you just submit blindly to authorities in your life or to others in your life, it can lead you to some really bad, horrible, painful, destructive places. So how are we supposed to make this work? How are we supposed to be people where submission is a piece of what we do? It's a piece of how God develops us. How do we do it in a healthy way? Well, we're going to read a bunch of passages of scripture today. Please stick with me. Feel free to pause and grab a Bible and read along if you want, because we are going to hit some really big chunks of scripture. So if you want the passages, if you want to actually look at the passages, you can look at the show notes, or I'll give you the addresses as we're doing this, and you can look them up yourself. So first one we're going to look at talks about submitting to all human authority that's above you. So this would be like the government, would be your boss at work. It would be any authority over you. It would be the librarian when you're at the library. You know, be submitting to anybody that's a human authority over you, which right away you might be thinking that could be dangerous to do. So let's read this passage. We're going to talk through it a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13, going all the way to verse 23. It says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as a supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourself to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Here it quotes, it says, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. And then it goes on to say, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Now, that passage covers a lot. Let me hit some of the highlights. One, it says submit to the government. And if you do much research on the Roman Empire, they were not perfect. They were not a godly institution. At this point, they were a pagan institution. But on top of that, they did a lot of selfish things, evil things. All governments are a mixed bag of evil and good, but Rome was no exception. There was certainly a lot of evil stuff they were doing. Here he says, though, submit to it. Do the things, you know, if a Roman soldier comes or a governor or whoever comes and tells you to do something, do it. Jesus in Sermon on the Mount talks about if someone tells you to go a mile, if a soldier comes and tells you to carry my stuff for a mile, don't just go one, go two. This like over-the-top submission. Then he gets into slavery, which, ancient world slavery looked a little different than like slavery in America in the, 1700s, 1800s. But still here he gets at when you have an harsh, unjust slave master, he still says to even submit to that. Even when someone's being unjust, if they're in authority over you, submit to it. And he says that it's commendable to bear up under unjust suffering, that if you can endure something unjust, that's commendable. That's actually Christ-like, that Christ suffered in an unjust way for us, that we could actually look like Jesus if we suffer like him. Now, on one hand, this is scripture. It's very true and good that sometimes the right thing to do is to bear up under a bad boss, or if you're a student, a bad teacher, or whatever, is to treat them with respect and even to submit to the unjust things they do that can be the right thing to do. It can be Christ-like. It can actually make, it can silence the foolish talk of ignorant people, this idea, and it can make, sorry, I lost my train of thought there, but it can make this idea that it can make God look attractive to others, okay? And it can change you by your suffering like Jesus suffered. You can connect with Jesus through that. Now, already, you might be like, whoa, this is way too intense, this idea of getting unjustly hurt or unjustly persecuted by somebody and just submitting to it. Now, a piece of it is you got to trust God. And that's where the kind of the last verse I read, just verse 23, trust God to take care of things. But I also want to say, when you look at the Bible, sometimes we'll read one passage and we can get a pretty strange idea of how we're supposed to live off of just one passage. That's why the Bible gives us the entire Bible. You know, that's why we have all of that. That's why God, I think, gave us the whole Bible, you know, not just this one passage. So one of the nice things about the Bible is it's not just statements like what we just read, where it's just like, do these things. There's also a lot of stories in the Bible of people living their life and trying to be godly as they do it. And you see how it interacts. So Peter, you know, we just read out of 1 Peter. When you look at the life of Peter, you can see, one memory comes right to my mind of a time where he didn't submit to the authority above him. And why did he do that? Okay, so even though here he lays down this idea of like, sometimes, typically, you should obey the authorities above you. That is the typically the right thing to do, even if they're not just, even if they're doing something wrong, you should, which is pretty extreme, okay? It's not very American. You know, we're big on, let's speak out against things that are wrong. But just because it's an American cultural thing doesn't necessarily mean it's right. But let's look in Acts 4, 8 through 20, and stick with me through this whole talk. I'm going to hit a lot of passages. But here's a story about Peter and John. They just healed a crippled guy in the name of Jesus, and it freaked a lot of people out because a lot of people got excited. And the religious authorities, which are the Jewish leaders, which are the local leaders that the Romans have allowed to have leadership power, it's kind of a weird setup, but they do have some legitimate authority. From a government standpoint, also from a religious standpoint. I mean, it's a weird mixed bag of authority here, but they had the right to throw Peter and John in jail. You know, they have some legitimate local authority here. So here's how Peter answers them after they're on trial, basically, for why did you heal this guy in the name of Jesus? It says in verse 8 of chapter 4 of Acts, we're going to read all the way to verse 20. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone, from Psalms 118. Then he says, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, talking about the religious authorities, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they've performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Verse 18, then they called them to in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. So very defiant there from Peter and John. I mean, they get straight up told by the rulers and authorities of their days, don't preach in Jesus' name anymore. Don't talk about Jesus anymore. And they say, like, look, man, you judge for yourselves what you think's right, but I'm going to obey God. I'm going to obey Jesus. I'm going to keep talking about Jesus. I'm going to keep doing the things Jesus tells me to do. Clearly disobeying the authority of their day in order to obey Jesus. And so the first principle on a limit on submission is do not obey any authority that directly contradicts what Jesus has told you to do. I mean, this is pretty simple, but it's really important to see, because sometimes you can read those passages like 1 Peter and you think like, oh no, you know, if at work it says we can never talk about Jesus, then I've just better follow the rules. Or if whatever it might be, I'm not saying break rules just for the sake of breaking them, or say like, oh, I'm a Christian, so I'm going to break every anti-Christian rule. I am saying you need to do what Jesus tells you to do. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And you notice when Peter and John stood up, it mentioned specifically that Peter, by the Holy Spirit, was saying these things. Okay, so if you're going to get into a big conflict and disobey some authority in your life, make sure you're full of the Holy Spirit. Make sure the things coming out of your mouth when you disobey are things that God wants coming out of your mouth, and you say it the way God wants you to say it. Because whenever you're going to get into some big friction over, because if you disobey an authority, probably going to be some friction, that's going to be a moment where lots of people pay attention, lots of people are watching, and you want to shine for Jesus in that moment. You don't want to just be angry and right. You want to be righteous, like connected to Jesus and standing on Jesus. Okay, so the words that come out of your mouth, the word choice, the tone, the body language, you need to be full of God as you do those things. Okay, if you feel like, oh man, I don't know, I think God wants me to disobey this, I don't know if I have got enough self-control to handle it the right way, pray and ask for help and say, Jesus, please control my mouth. I'm going to do what you want me to do, but help me do it. Okay, don't run around saying I'm right, I'm on a crusade to prove everybody else wrong. Really make Christianity look unattractive to people that Jesus wants to reach. Okay, so to do it in the right way. Further, this might still be bothered by the First Peter passage and about how do we know? When do we know? You know, this is the crazy idea that even people that were stuck in slavery in an unjust way, they were supposed to submit. Well, there's another passage in Titus that again talks about submitting to your masters. And actually all of Titus chapter 2 or the beginning of it is talking about these different ideas of submission and respect and stuff. But right after, it's talking about slavery stuff and kind of the most extreme side of submission. It's talking to us about the grace of God, and I think it's here referring to the Holy Spirit teaching us how to handle this stuff. And I think that is going to be key for the limits of this on submission. So Titus chapter 2, verse 9-12, it says, teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Let me pause there and we'll read verse 11 and 12. So this idea of when we submit to authorities, a lot of times it opens a door down the road for us to share Jesus. It makes Jesus more attractive, okay? When we don't talk back, when we're not rude, when we do things better than they deserve to be done. Someone treats you in a rude way and they're your boss and you always respect them and always talk kindly to them. Not necessarily brown nosing is not necessarily what I'm saying. I'm saying like you're treating them with respect out of reverence to Christ, you know, kind of like Ephesians 5:21 that we talked about. And so you're trying as best you can to respect them as much as possible. You're trying to please them. You're not talking back to them. You're not stealing from them. You know, you're showing that you are trustworthy, even if they're not trustworthy to you. Okay. So you're treating them in this awesome way. Why? Because they're a person that Jesus died for too, and you want a chance to reach out to them. And honestly, if they're a bad boss or a bad leader or a jerk, most people are not going to treat them the way a Christian should. And so if you do that, you might really open a door that nothing else could open. You might open a door for Jesus to get into their life because of the respect you show them that they don't deserve. Because Jesus shows us a lot of things we don't deserve, okay? So it's this idea of caring more about the kingdom of heaven, caring more about bringing people to Jesus and helping them grow in Jesus than you do about your own personal pride or your own personal rights. And that's what it says in verse 11 and 12. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So this idea that we have, by the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, we have to say no to ourselves a lot of times. We have to say no to the things we want We have to live in a really self-controlled way of like, I'm choosing how I'm going to respond to this bad boss. I'm choosing how I'm going to respond to this jerky person. I'm choosing how I'm going to respond to this authority in my life in such a way that I want to make God attractive to them. I want to make Jesus attractive to them. I want them, even if they have said mean, terrible things to me, or they've treated me bad, or they've stolen from me or hurt me, I want them to walk away knowing like, I didn't sink to their level. Like, I always conducted myself in a way that honored Jesus. That's pretty powerful, but it's not easy. You need God's grace to do it, okay? So something you have to ask for his help on, okay? Now, you might still be like waffling here about like, wait, Jake, what am I supposed to actually do? When is it okay to disobey? Obviously, Peter and John were disobeying when someone said, don't ever talk about Jesus again. That's a pretty clear thing to disobey. Let me get a little more to specifics. Richard Foster talks about in his book, Celebration of Discipline, he says the limits of the discipline of submission are at the points when it becomes destructive. It then becomes a denial of the law of love as taught by Jesus and is an affront to genuine biblical submission. And he references Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and then especially Matthew 22, 37 through 39, which we'll read the Matthew 22 here in just a second. But here is what he's getting at, or what I would kind of define what he's saying here. When you submit to someone and it becomes destructive, it's hurting you and other people, then it's wrong, okay? So, for instance, a wife submitting to her husband who's abusive to her, that's not a safe environment for her. It's a destructive environment. She needs to get to a safe place, not just submit to what her husband said, okay? It could be, you know, you've got your kids in school and the principal says like, this is how it's going to be, and you know it's really hurting your kids to not get something, you know, maybe they need some special attention or something. You know, you try to submit to the principal on the way the school should be run as much as possible, but at some point if you can see clearly this is hurting children, yeah, it's not right to submit to it just because the person in authority says so, okay? Because here's what Jesus says in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So if you want, in a moment, if someone tells you to submit to them, but it somehow hinders your ability to love God with everything, or it somehow stops your ability to love someone else like you're supposed to, then yeah, you shouldn't submit to that. So if you have a boss that says, you know, to steal something from someone else, or to say a lie to make someone else look bad, or something like that, it's like that's wrong, okay? Now, if your boss just flies off the handle and yells at you and makes you look like a fool, I don't think that's necessarily a reason to rebel against him, okay? Like, yeah, that's unjust. And if you bear up under it, like First Peter was talking about, that's commendable if you can bear up under something unjust. But the moment when it becomes destructive, where it's hurting people's ability to connect with God, it's hurting the way people should be treated, and it's a fuzzy ground there of like, where is it at exactly, okay? That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Foster goes on to talk about in his chapter, like really, we're dependent on the Holy Spirit because it's complicated. When you get into human relationships and what should I submit to and what shouldn't I, it's very, very complicated. If there's a husband, you know, telling his kids and his wife, like we got to move because of this or that, and none of the rest of them want to move, should they submit to the dad? Should they not? It's tricky to figure out some of that stuff. You know, it's tricky to figure out if you are a part of a small group and the small group leader says, like, this is what we're going to be doing. You know, we're going to read in Exodus right now. And you're like, no, these guys really need the gospel. How do you handle that? You know, there's younger Christians in the group. Maybe they really do, you feel like, need more time in the gospel, but this person thinks they really need time in the Old Testament. Do you just submit to the leader? Do you not? It's tricky to figure that out. So in the end, you're left digging into the Bible for some guidance, but specifically digging in with the Holy Spirit and saying, what should I do? Can I rebel against this and be full of the Holy Spirit? Like, do I know confidently that God wants me to say something? And then, do I know that God can speak through me? Like, do I have enough self-control to let God speak through me accurately? You know, that I'm glorifying him even when I dissent, or even when I don't submit. So long talk today, and really dove into a lot of passages. Hopefully that made sense. And here's my challenge for you this week. It actually doesn't. This is the first time we've had a challenge this way this year, and I think it's not common for me, but you actually don't have to take any direct action this week, because I couldn't just tell you, like, go out and don't submit to something, because I don't know if that's the right thing for you to do right now or not. Here is my challenge. I want you to think hard about a time that after you became a Christian, when you submitted to an authority and it was the wrong thing to do, you shouldn't have. There should have been some limit put on that submission. And so it might be hard for you to think of that. And so here's the deal. If you can't come up with one, don't just come and tell me, like, oh, I couldn't come up with one. Spend, and this is kind of a challenge here, spend at least 30 minutes thinking about it. Not just 30 minutes while you're super busy doing other stuff. Take a 30-minute chunk of time and try to sit down and think, like, is there ever a time where I did something because of authority in my life said to do it? But now looking back, I know, like, Jesus didn't want me to do that. Like, I should have been like Peter and John. I should have stood up and said, like, no, I'm going to obey Jesus. I'm not going to do that. Or no, that's the wrong thing to do. Jesus wants me to do something else. Sit back, think about it. If you think about it for a half hour and you still can't come up with anything, okay, that's legit. But my guess would be, if you think back hard enough, you'll probably come up with a time where, yeah, you just went with the flow, or you submitted for whatever reason, and you look back and think, like, that was the wrong thing to do. Because it's important to not let our pride get in the way and rebel when we shouldn't. It's important to have enough self-control to submit and to say, like, getting my own way isn't important. I want to honor Jesus. But sometimes we give in to fear, or we give in to status quo stuff, and we just go with the flow, and that can also be very, very wrong. Okay, so think through, since you became a Christian, when's a time you should not have submitted? A time when you got it wrong. You did what someone else told you to do, who was an authority in your life, and you shouldn't have. So that's my challenge for you guys this week. Thanks for listening. We went a lot of places today. Thanks for sticking with me.